Injured in an accident? Call Creed & Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubuque Rustin Monroe, 97.7.
It's time for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. This is your source for Louisiana Tech sports news. For the next 90 minutes, Bleed Tech Blue Radio goes deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting. Tonight's show is also brought to you by O'Neill Gas, Brister's Smokehouse, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Ideal Portable Buildings, and Scott Seafood. Text us on the Fairway Carts text line at 888-993-7762. Here's your host, Ben Carlisle.
What up? Bleed Tech Blue Radio in the house. National Signing Day Eve. It's better than Christmas Eve, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, coming at you live with Beck Haynes. Beck, how we doing tonight?
Pretty good, BC. Had an exciting weekend of sports. We got a lot to talk about. Nick Foles.
Let's start a little bit with a little Super Bowl talk.
Did he go to Tech?
I don't think Nick Foles went to Tech, Arizona, for you quarterback gurus out there. But talking about the weekend sports, Super Bowl, I think the Eagles beat the Patriots 41-33. Incredible game. Hate to see Louisiana Tech legend Ryan Allen drop one. Allen, you know, he doesn't even get to punt, has a rough night holding as well. So a little double, triple whammy for him. But nonetheless, good win by the Eagles.
Yep, it was a good game. I'm not disappointed by the outcome at all.
Not a Tom Brady fan?
I'm a huge, massively respect him and Belichick, but they've done it a million times. So it was good. I think it's cool that, like, Philadelphia's never won a Super Bowl and they brought one home. And Nick Foles is a good guy and an underdog. And, you know,
I'll tell you one thing. You know, my biggest takeaway from the Super Bowl is I'm freaking tired of turning on the TV or listening to the radio and hearing Malcolm Butler and why he didn't get in the game. Like, Tom Brady's the GOAT. Bill Belichick's the GOAT. Like, let the man coach. If he thought his best way was to win was to put the backup corner in to get burnt, so be it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think that's a story, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't either. But nonetheless, Philadelphia Eagles' first Super Bowl in their illustrious history. Some of you may know him. A good friend of mine from high school, Brady Renard. I think he used to work with KTVE over in the Monroe area. I know he's a diehard Eagles fan. So good for him getting his first Super Bowl as a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. Who knows? Maybe the Philadelphia 76ers will follow it up this summer in the NBA Finals.
Did you saw that thing on Facebook with Doug? We can talk about Doug Peterson later. Cause I don't know did I tell my Doug Peterson story last week?
No, let's hear your Doug Peterson story real quick.
You know how I run into the legends. Yeah. When I moved from Alaska down to the Shreveport in high school, Doug Peterson was the high school football coach at Calvary, which was where I went to school. And so I came in a few days early and went to meet the baseball coach, and Doug was in there. And I was tall. I was 6'2", you know. Just looking like an athletic specimen.
That's what you are.
Yeah, and Doug, I'll never forget it. He looked at me and he said, tell me you play quarterback. And I was like, I do not. And, you know, I've had, I think, two or three knee surgeries at that point up to my sophomore year in high school. So I told him he didn't want me anywhere near the football field.
You're not exactly a drop back pass.
No, I'm not. Nor do I know anything about football or had ever played except for my stint as a sixth grade center.
Well,
so,
it's all about how you look. Yeah.
So anyways, Doug was a great guy. So and from that perspective, I'm real happy for him as well.
Yeah,
so.
Good for him.
Anyways, back to my story. Did you see the meme, or not the meme, the quote where he said Evangel was harder?
Yeah.
Is that real?
Fake. No.
Okay, I was going to say, because I was like, there's no way he said that.
Yeah, that was floating around everywhere. That's pretty cool to see, though. But, good for the Eagles. It's really sad, honestly. Football's over. Now we have to look ahead to National Signing Day tomorrow. That's what we're here for tonight. We're here to talk some National Signing Day. We only got one guest on the docket tonight, Lane Burrows, head coach of the Diamond Dogs. They began practice a little over a week ago, about 11 days ago. They'll open the season on the road at Pepperdine, which is, big road trip for him, a lot of new faces for his Louisiana Tech baseball team this season. So it'll be good to catch up with him at 7 o'clock. I know you and I, Beck, we we both love going out to the Love Shack and getting to take in a Bulldog baseball game, so it'll be fun to talk to Coach Burrows tonight.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that, especially I got a daughter now. Was Peyton going to the games? She was last year.
My daughter, Peyton. She went to a couple games.
Yeah, so
big fan.
Big fan. Yeah, she was. So I got one this year. It'll be fun to bring the family out to the ballpark and enjoy the weather and watch them dogs, even though they're all brand new pups.
Yeah, we'll have to learn.
We'll have to learn something about them.
Yeah, we'll have to bring a program out there. Who knows?
I mean, can we learn about them on BleedTechBlue.com? I mean,
yeah. Well, speaking of BleedTechBlue.com, you can join us for as little as $8.33 a month. We do have a Bulldog baseball preview out. It's pretty in depth. You're not going to find anything better. I'll be honest with you, and you know this may be a little cocky, you may call it, but we could talk to Coach Burrows, and I'm not sure he'd break it down this much in depth. So this is pretty deep, and this has a pretty good idea of you know some of those new faces that will be. You know, taking the field for the dogs this year.
I mean, I think it goes without saying, but I feel like subscribers get a bonus with you being a former Tech baseball legend, so it makes sense that you would have insight into the team and be able to put together a pretty good little article.
Yeah, absolutely. So, Coach Burrows coming up at 7 o'clock. As always, we'd love to hear from you. 888-993-7762 on the Fairway Carts hotline or the Fairway Carts text line. We'd love to talk about anything. We'll talk Dunkin' Dog basketball, what we're going to get to a little bit later. We'd love to talk about, you know, National Signing Day now that it's here. It's tomorrow. I think about 7 o'clock in the morning, offensive lineman Stephen Shaw Jr. out of the Houston area is expected to send his letter of intent, and I'm excited to see that. So, in all, Tech has seven commitments on the table. Tech has seven commitments on the table that they're expecting to sign tomorrow. There's also two other signees as well. So hopefully, you know, Tech can go ahead and close out the best. I don't know. We'll get into it later. You know, one of the better classes Tech has put together in quite some time. But real quick, we want to go to that Fairway Carts hotline where we're joined by Marcel. How you doing tonight, Marcel?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank you for taking my call. I really appreciate it. I just have one quick question. I'm curious. Is Jamar going to play baseball this year?
No, sir. He is not.
Fantastic. I think that'll be better for everybody.
I agree with you, Marcel.
I knew y'all would know. I just wanted to know. I'll let y'all get on with it. Appreciate all the work you do. You do a great job.
Thank you, Marcel, for the call. As always, we'd love to hear from you, just like we heard from Marcel, but that was a development that we reported on Bleed Tech Blue a few weeks ago before they got practice underway. And I think you and I would both agree that, you know, Jamar not taking the baseball field this year is probably best for his development as well as best for the team going forward now that Tech, you know, has some experience on the offensive side of the ball. And they're bringing in a plethora amount of talent this year in the 2018 recruiting class.
Right, I agree. Was this the first year of the early signing period? Or
yeah, first year.
Okay, so it changes things a lot because tomorrow, I mean, what, we got two, like you said?
Seven guys that are expected to sign, we hope to sign. And then two, you know, I'm not going to give out their names. You can join us at the site for these guys. But possible guys that Tech is hoping to flip on signing day as well. So, in all, you could see Tech end up with nine new faces tomorrow, but I think that the staff would be happy with, you know, getting those seven pinned to paper and then maybe flipping one of those two guys.
Right, okay. So it's just interesting because, you know, last year this was the day, and now this is day two of two, you know. So,
yeah. Interesting. Yeah, the second signing day of the year tomorrow, February the 7th. If you haven't heard, Louisiana Tech is actually holding a signing day luncheon. It'll be held at 11:30 a.m. inside the Davison Athletic Complex. Coach Holtz and his staff will be in there breaking down all, you know, however many guys they end up signing. I think right now there's, in all, I think there's 23 guys that are either committed or signed. So I'm excited to see what, you know, he has to say about each player. I'm excited to see some tape on each player, you know, where they might fit into future plans, whether it's this year, whether it's next year, whether it's 2020, 2021. You just never know when these guys are really going to contribute. Beck, have you ever had the opportunity to make it out to the signing day luncheon? Last year was my first year, and it's a lot of fun if you've never been to it.
No, I've never been, but I'm going to do my best to be there tomorrow, and I got to check the old schedule in the morning, but I'm planning to be there.
Well, there you go. You know, if you make it out to the signing day lunch and you can meet Beck and I, we would love to meet you. You know, we're just two ordinary guys covering
the
Dawgs.
We do this for the people, you know, so we need to meet the people.
This is the people show.
This is the people show, and we're just here to bring you the good news, and sometimes the bad news. So,
absolutely. So, looking elsewhere, looking to the Dunkin' Dawgs last week. The Dunkin' Dawgs went on the road. Big win Thursday night against Florida Atlantic, 67-62. That was a game that... you know, I'll be honest, Tech grinded it out. We haven't seen them win those tight games throughout the year. I think they have 7 losses by 4 points or less. So, nice to see them close on a 14-1 run late in that ball game, led by freshman point guard Amari Archibald and sophomore center Oliver Powell. I think they scored 14 of Tech's final 16 points in that win. And
that's what we've needed, is somebody to just step up at the end of the game.
And well, and it's nice to see two young guys
right,
do it as well.
That's good for the future.
Yeah,
know?
Absolutely. And we hate to be those guys that are, say, you know, look out for the future. But, you know, if we're being honest, you only got Jacoby Boykins. Day-Day Bracey's been out for last 5 games. He returned Saturday night for Tech, actually. Saturday night was a tough one at Florida International. Tech loses on a 26-foot buzzer-beating 3 by Brian Beard to lose to FIU 71-68. Tech actually gave up 2 3-pointers to lose that game in the final 2.7 seconds of that ball game. So not a fun game to watch, not the result Tech was looking for. You know, you'd obviously like to have won your 5th straight game, but here's the deal. At this point, which was the point, you know, probably a month ago, it's either you win the conference tournament to go dancing or you're sitting at home. So Tech will come back home, 4 straight home games starting Thursday night against Charlotte before hosting Old Dominion Saturday night inside the Thomas Assembly Center. I'm excited to see what Louisiana Tech can do and will do down the final 7 games of the season.
Yeah, Old Dominion, that's always a good game. I kind of feel like they're like one of our basketball rivals. Are they the ones, or was it UAB that knocked us off that year?
UAB.
Okay,
yeah.
So UAB and Old Dominion.
Yeah, Old Dominion's beat us before too. Marshall beat us last year. You know, I think it's gone UAB Marshall or UAB Old Dominion Marshall.
Was Old Dominion the team that had that dude that just hit mid range jumpers all day long?
All day long. Freeman.
Oh my gosh, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, Old Dominion's the team that actually ended Tech's 39 game home win streak as well. Okay. So hopefully Tech can get some revenge. I know Tech, you know, obviously has only seen Old Dominion once on the gridiron, and they've very rarely seen them on the hardwood as well. So hopefully Tech can pick up a win over them. And just another thing real quick about the Dunkin' Dawgs. It was announced today Louisiana Tech center Janiah White is having to end his basketball playing career due to some heart issues. You know, I think if you follow Louisiana Tech basketball at all, you have to, you know, you're aware of what he's been going through. And it's a tough situation, but a great kid. Right. You know, we see him every night out on the court at the Thomas Assembly Center. He's just got that huge smile on his face. He always seems like he interacts so well with the fans, and we certainly wish the best for him.
Right, we're going to miss Janiah, but it's one of those things that kind of gives you, like, I'm almost glad. Like, I want him to take care of himself, and that's certainly not worth having those kind of problems. It's not worth anything like playing college basketball. You know, you got to take care of your health for your family, so wish him the best. Sad to see him go, but also glad he's doing what he needs to do.
Yeah, and here was his quote on LaTeXSports.com. He said, "It's a family decision. I have a son that I need to look out for, and I want to make sure he is able to grow up with me around. I have a lot of faith in this team. If I didn't, I would feel more pressure to play. We have a great team and a lot of guys who can step up into bigger roles. Spiritually, this is where God is leading me. It was a tough decision, but I am confident in my faith. I have confidence to go where God is leading me." It's nice to hear that from Janiah. He'll end up he ends his Louisiana Tech career with 124 career blocks, which ranks 5th in program history.
That's awesome. Now, will he stick around the program? And
I would imagine so. And that's another thing I wanted to point out. So many times we see you know, these guys just leave programs and they kind of, you know, fall off the grid, so to speak. But Janiah is expected to pick up his degree in communication in May from Louisiana Tech. This is his 4th year on campus, and So good for him. I think he really has a strong desire to end up as a coach. So hopefully he can continue to live his life in the manner that he feels like God's leading him to, and we wish him a tremendous amount of success.
Absolutely. If he's in communications, he better not come for this co-host spot on the Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Well, if he does, we'll replace you in a quick minute. Elsewhere, before we get to our first timeout, Lady Texters won a big road game last week after we spoke to Brooke Storer on Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I think we
got them fired up.
We got them fired up. They went up to Murfreesboro and knocked off Middle Tennessee 66-49 before the Lady Texters returned home Sunday afternoon against the UAB Lady Blazers, who lead Conference USA, and the Lady Texters dropped a tight one. So, you know, a average week for both the Duncan Dogs and the Lady Texters. Hopefully they'll get things back going in a positive direction this week. We're going to go ahead. We're going to take our first time out. When we come back from this break, we're going to take a dive in to National Signing Day. We're going to take a look at some of Tech's final prospects as they look to round out this class. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
The new year is here, so let's start something new at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Starting this year, any new or used purchase from Brennan Dodge will come with oil changes free for life. That's right, your new or used car from Brennan Dodge will come with free oil changes for as long as you own your car. Just our way of saying thank you for the many years of support this community has shown us. And the all-new Jeep Wrangler is just a few weeks away. So don't miss a chance to test drive the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Let's start something new this year at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank. Banking on a first name basis. Uncommon. People, service, and convenience. Uncommon. Dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank. Beyond banking with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank. The Uncommon Bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
You cheer for your team. You root for your team. You live for your team. You're a Louisiana Tech fan. Your Louisiana Tech Dairy Queen restaurants in Monroe, West Monroe, Ruston, Bossier City, and Shreveport invite you to try our fan food favorites. Locally owned and operated by Louisiana Tech alumni, Dairy Queen is proud of all Louisiana Tech athletes. Come by one of our locations and support the businesses who support Louisiana Tech. Dairy Queen, fan food, not fast food.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, National Signing Day 2018 begins tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. You'll see the old faithful fax machines start to light up. Beck, what are your thoughts on, you know, we're in this new age world where digital media is just about everything, and we still use the fax machines. How in the world does that happen?
Got to get that signature.
That's true.
I got to know that it's coming from, you know, the actual person. Digital signatures make me nervous.
Anybody well, I actually have heard that this year they actually finally did make a change that you can actually have a digital signature, which,
of course,
which is nice, but golly, I can't even imagine why some of, you know, think about it. Tomorrow morning, you know.
This is an IT guy's worst nightmare.
Oh, absolutely. 6:30 a.m., the fax machine goes down. You're over here calling Office Depot. Office Depot's not open. And nor do they carry fax machines.
Right.
You know.
Yeah, I know. At least it's thankfully not like, you know, if they didn't get my fax, I'm going somewhere else. You know, usually they've at least, they've already verbally committed, right? I mean, so they just need those signature. Which verbal commits now are just, you know what it is?
Non-binding.
It's easy. Well, it's non-binding, but it's easy. You just type some notes in your iPhone, take a screenshot, and tweet it.
And say, please respect my decision. Yeah, I'm so glad you brought that up.
Yeah, because then it's you know, I would like to thank my family and God, and I'd like to just, you know, thanks for all the other schools. And it's like a template, man, and I get it. Like, you know, it's just the way, you know, you start to follow the trends, and players are doing what their friends are doing, you know, but it's the same thing every time.
Here's the thing that just blows my mind. You have some kids that, you know, more power to them, but they'll say University of Louisiana Tech. Like, Did you not proofread it? Did you not realize that this is Louisiana Tech University?
Right.
And then why at the end of every single commitment do we see, please respect my decision?
As if that's going to keep the comments from the people at the other schools that wanted you to come there. It's like, oh, I would have said somebody told me to respect his decision.
Yeah, like they're going to blow you up no matter what. They're going to tell you how.
Haters going to hate, BC.
Haters going to hate, but let me tell you something. We ain't hating this Bulldog recruiting class. When you look at it from an overall perspective, when you mention the commitment of Willie Allen, we reported on BleedTechBlue.com Sunday afternoon that Allen, a former LSU signee, committed to Louisiana Tech after visiting this weekend. Let me tell you a little about Willie Allen.
It's because we're the best team in the state.
We are the best team in the state. That's why he left LSU, came back to the Dogs. Willie Allen, 6'7", 300 pounds, actually redshirted at LSU for 1 year before transferring out. I believe he really wanted to go to TCU, but,
Why is it TCU? I mean, TCU, everybody...
I'll be honest with you, TCU raids this state.
Yeah, I mean, like,
and they do a good job.
A couple of the guys in the class that we're looking at are either leaving, or you know, that it was between Tech and TCU.
Yeah,
so I
don't know.
They're doing something right.
Yeah, they're recruiting. That's what they're doing.
And it ain't the mascot that's making them want to go there.
Ain't nobody care too much about a frog, nor a horned frog, for that matter. But Willie Allen commits to Louisiana Tech. I know he took a visit to UTSA the previous week. He solidifies that Tech offensive line. He gives Tech that fourth tackle behind Michael Rodriguez, behind Shane Carpenter, and behind Dwight Stallworth for the 2018 season. If you look at Allen, he has 3 years of eligibility remaining. He does not have a red shirt. So here's a huge pickup for Louisiana Tech here in this final week of the recruiting process, and one that, quite honestly, I think he has an opportunity to come in and start right away.
Right, that's what I think. And that's okay, so I was going to ask you this. Is that what do you think that's Tech's pitch against bigger schools? Is he can come in and play right away?
Yeah, I think it has to be. And you know, you look at a lot of these big schools when there was, you know, only one signing day, which would be tomorrow. It was easy to string a kid along until the 11th hour and say, "Well, hey, we missed out on this guy, so we're taking you." Much like LSU did a year ago with Amik Robertson. Same with Texas. They tried to do the same thing with Amik, but luckily enough for Tech, or smart enough on Robertson's part, he realized, you know, I have the opportunity to go to Louisiana Tech, make an instant impact, and boy, did he.
Yeah, and I think that's got to be – I mean, the coaches are, number one, thrilled with Amik's play. Number two, like, really glad to have that on as a story, or to be able to pitch to other recruits of, like, look at Amik. You know, what was he, all-conference?
All-conference, freshman, all-American.
Yeah, I mean, you can't.
All-American trash talker as well.
Right, exactly. We love that about him. But, I mean, if you're debating on going to the school or going to a school, you know you're going to sit out 1, maybe 2 years. But, I mean, it's all about, you know, these players needing to make an impact, and some of them don't have that much time to do it. And it's, you know, I don't know. And then there's also the competition deal. Yeah, Amik probably going to do a little better against
conference.
You know what I'm saying? Then he would, I don't know. I'm just saying. But then it's, you know, the other side of that is the coaching is better at bigger schools.
And I had a discussion with somebody earlier today. You look at all these kids, and, you know, whether you go to Tech or whether you go to LSU, obviously LSU has the most players in the NFL, blah, blah, blah. Tech has put their fair share of players in the NFL as well. I think, you know, I'm not going to say it's an equal opportunity to go to the NFL, but if you have a chance to go to, say, a Louisiana Tech or, you know, a Houston or a Boise State or wherever it may be and have the opportunity to be that 3 or 4 year starter, I think, personally, I'm a little biased.
Right.
You know, I'm a Tech homer. I'll be honest with you. But I think you have an opportunity to put yourself on tape a little more, which enhances your chances at making an NFL roster in the future.
Do you think that's changed over the last 20 years? I mean, think about like a Carson Wentz. He was at a Division II, right? That was North Dakota State. There was no question about him.
Yeah, no, it's definitely changed over the years, because you look at 20 years ago, you know, there wasn't, you know, every game wasn't on TV. I don't care if Carson Wentz played at North Dakota State or not. You could at least stream his games on ESPN3 every weekend.
Right.
So, yeah, it's definitely changed a whole lot. Now, I'll give you a perfect example. You look at a guy like at Tech, Cedric Cooper. He's a kid that came to Tech and, you know, had a decent freshman year, and you just progresses over his 4-year career to where he's an all-conference player when he leaves this year. He goes to the East-West Shrine Game, has a great week before he goes to the Senior Bowl, and, you know, he ends up collecting an interception, and you just – these guys continue. He gets better and better, you know, whether he's at a Tech, whether he's at Texas, whether he's at a Power 5. He got better as the years went on, right. And I'm convinced –
he got 4 years of like, good, solid collegiate play.
Yeah, and he got a lot of reps, and he's going to have an opportunity to make an NFL roster. And, you know, what more can you ask for? I'm not saying Cedric Cooper is getting drafted, but Cedric Cooper is going to get into an NFL training camp, and he's going to have an opportunity to make an NFL roster, whether it be on special teams or whatever way. And I think that that's a big selling point, especially when you look at past years, Xavier Woods, defensive back into the NFL. You look at Trent Taylor and Carlos Henderson, you know, those are two receivers into the NFL.
Right.
You look at Ryan Allen, he's a special teamer into the NFL. You look at, you know, Jeff Driscoll, he came to Tech for 1 year, revitalized his career. He's a quarterback in the NFL. You know, Tech has Jordan Mills playing right tackle in the NFL. Jelly Bean Ellis is playing on the defensive line in the NFL. Kenneth Dixon's playing running back. You know, Tech has NFL caliber player or NFL players on NFL rosters basically at every position in the league. And if you're a recruit, that's appealing.
Right. And just to think about, like, however many years ago, I mean, the recruiting is – I mean, I feel like recruiters, number one, have – I mean, they're handing out those jobs like nobody's business. You know,
oh, yeah.
You don't need to be going to a school that has a big name in order – instead of some tiny school in North Dakota no one's ever heard of. If you've got good film and you got enough stir, people are going to hear about you through Twitter. And,
well, and
you know.
And you look at a Tech signee. We've talked about him before, Byron Russell out of West Memphis, Arkansas. Small Christian school in Arkansas, probably not over 100 students in the whole school, but here he is. He's signing at a major Division I university,
right.
Signed in that early signing period. He's a three-star recruit on our Rivals recruiting site. So, like you said, you're going to get found with today's new age of digital media and how everything rolls. You are going to get found, and if you are good enough, you know, not only will colleges find you, the NFL will find you as well.
Right. I would just love to be in the room when Skip Holtz and some other coaches are just pitching Tech. You know, like, well, I mean, it's got to be make a difference next season.
Well, I'm with you, and I think about that a lot. You know, what is the selling point to come to Louisiana Tech? And I think, you know, you obviously make that pitch that
– great jerseys.
What about the red ones?
Except for the red helmets.
But, you look at Tech's facility enhancements the last few years. I've talked to a kid that recently signed with Tech in this early signing period, and he had visited, you know, TCU. He had visited LSU. He comes to Tech. He ends up signing with Louisiana Tech in that early signing period. And, yes, does LSU and TCU have the gimmicky things that are better than Tech? Absolutely. But when you look down to the basics, Tech has everything a kid can need. And look at it, Texas brand new as well.
Right.
And I think that's a big selling point. You know, you see it all the time when kids go on visits to Tech. They're even showing kids the new press box.
Right.
You know, and kids love that stuff.
Yeah.
And you and I love it.
I'm a big environment person, and it's changed for me.
No, yeah, definitely.
Like, I mean, it's been a huge game changer, and we talked about that last week, I think. But I just can't – this is such a unique time for the university to be on the up and up. You know, athletically, academically, I mean, Ruston is changing.
Well, and it's a city or town that is just growing.
Yeah, and it's rallying behind Tech more and more each year. So I think recruits are seeing that. I think they're saying, I don't need to go to the big city to get, you know, to get that feel. And also, I could probably play a little sooner here.
Well, and I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention, you know, the job that Tommy McClellan's done as athletic director along with Skip Holtz. Skip is really, you know, not only has he provided a winning culture here in Ruston, Tech's won 34 games over the past 4 years, four consecutive bowl games, but there's some stability, not only at head coach, but, you know, Tech has lost assistants, but they're not losing near as many assistants as they used to. You know, Blake Baker is really emerging as a great defensive coordinator. I thought he did a nice job late in the year. Joe Sloan and he on the recruiting trail are doing an incredible job. And then it even goes further to what President Les Geis is doing with the mayor of Ruston,
right.
Ronnie Walker. It's just all adding up to what, like I said, you know, we're Tech homers, but I truly believe that you look 5-10 years down the road, There's no telling what Louisiana Tech's going to be.
Right, and you mentioned it earlier, and you nailed it just right on the head with the four bowl games. I mean, that's consistency. It's not a season that Tech shot up and did really well and then went back down. Like, people are looking.
Like we've seen in years past.
Right, and like recruits are looking at that saying they're at the top-ish of the conference and going to bowl games every year. I'm going to get to go to that bowl game. I'm going to go get to pick out my bowl prize. I'm going to get to be on primetime television.
Well, and you mentioned going into the Dallas area for the Frisco Bowl. You and I were there. There was a huge contingent of Louisiana Tech fans playing an SMU team that, really, I'll be honest, SMU was expected to win the game. Nobody expected Tech to win. Tech goes in there. They beat the brains off of SMU 51-10.
And brought as many people as SMU did, right?
I mean, absolutely. And Dallas-Fort Worth area is a huge alumni base for Tech that continues to grow year after year, and you do that on national television. I think Connor Taylor, the three-star linebacker, commits the following day. Mm-hmm. You're seeing that winning on national television continues to enhance Tech's brand, and I think we'll see it continue to grow year after year. But we're going to take a quick timeout. When we get back, we're going to continue to talk recruiting. I know we got off on a little tangent there about, you know, Louisiana Tech being the best Tier 1 university in the country, but when we come back, we're going to talk some more Louisiana Tech recruiting. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
Wapo Tire Service has been a proud Tech sponsor for over 60 years. When Tech hits the court, it's game on. This weekend, make sure your vehicle is game ready. Let the knowledgeable staff at Wapo Tire get you safely to and from the game. With brake repair, alignment, computer diagnostic, plus all your major brands of tires, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. Wapo Tire Service Superstore, a name you can trust. Ruston, West Monroe, or visit WapoTire.com.
Whatever you're doing this year, Fairway Carts in Minden has the vehicle you need. From an easy-go golf cart in gas or electric for the links or around the neighborhood, to easy-go utility carts for tough jobs, to whisper-quiet bad boy buggies for the silent dependability hunters need most, Fairway Carts delivers. Plus a complete line of parts and accessories to make your choice one of a kind. Fairway Carts, proud to support Tech Athletics. Visit us in Minden or online at fairwaycarts.net.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Get ready for a healthy dose of Louisiana Tech sports. Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, is back on the radio. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. We got off on a little bit of a tangent in that last segment, talking about how Louisiana Tech is appealing to prospective recruits. I know you had one question before we got to that timeout.
Yeah, I don't know if you remember just a few moments ago, but I nearly forgot the name of our conference, not for any reason other than I just lost it for a second. But it got me thinking, BC. I know a few years ago we went from the WAC to Conference USA. Big move.
Yep.
Everybody's excited. What are the chances that happens again, and where would you like to go?
Well, I think that...
Or what would it take to move? I mean, what would have to happen for Tech for us to be considered for a bigger and better conference?
Well, here's my personal opinion on conference realignment. I don't think conferences are ever going to be set in stone, you know, like many people believe. I think before long we'll hear about it again. More schools looking to move, really get that Power Five mantra to them. And you know, when you're a Power Five. Let's be honest, I don't know if you saw it, but the SEC gave out $41 million to each university after, you know, their revenue year in 2017. So
it's pretty good.
Yeah, they ain't hurting for money. So if I'm Tech, you know, and I think Tech's done an exceptional job at setting themselves up for the next time conference realignment does come around. And, you know, as far as conference that Tech ends up, you know, Big 12, SEC, Big 10 – you name the Power Five, I'll take it. I'll take an AAC as well. But I think, you know, Tech's big selling point as far as selling their university has to be when you look at the budget restraints that Tech deals with, you know, on a yearly basis, it's obvious. Right. You know, there's no secret that, you know, not only Tech, but, you know, other universities around the state as well, that education's having a lot of budget cuts. So Tech really struggles in that department. And I think you have to sell to universities that you are a proven winner, whether it be in football or basketball or recently baseball or, you know, softball goes to a regional last year. You look at what Brooks Store's doing with the women's program, and you have to tell them, you know, we're doing that with a limited budget, but if we come into your conference and we are able to get a little more revenue, you do boost us, you know, $20 million a year to get our, you know, revenue up each year, I think you'll see Tech be a very appealing team, you know, when that new conference realignment does come along.
Okay, so is it more so like fan attendance? Is it more so winning? Is it more so bowl wins? Which I mean, you made a good point. I almost forgot that there was other sports involved, but I mean, is it a program or is it all your athletics as a whole and how well they do? Is it like you said, and the money thing is that's. I mean, it's not our fault, but it is. But you know what I'm saying? Like,
I think winning does go a long way in all of. But
that's the number one factor. Is like if we're winning conference championships in multiple sports every year, they'll be like, hey.
Well, here's a question I have for you. Say Tech's winning a conference championship every year. Do you think more fans show up if Tech does say get in the Big 12?
I don't know. Russia's kind of weird about that. Like
it is. It's an intriguing town. It's a town that's growing, but it's interesting to see how that would work because we saw Mississippi State come to town last year, and granted, you know, they're not coming week in and week out, but, you know, I think there was 27,000 people in the Joe, which was a solid crowd, but I think if you want to get in the Big 12 or the SEC or wherever, I think you got to be around that 35,000, 40,000 range.
Right, and I mean, obviously people are probably going to be more inclined to come watch a Mississippi State than they are a UTEP, but, I mean, Tech got hammered, so... What I will say is I do appreciate about Tech fans is it doesn't matter really, which we've had a lot of really good seasons in a row. But, I mean, there's always going to be energy for the start of the next season.
I'm with you.
But, you know, we throw around the word fair weather, which honestly, like, this is a young-ish town.
Yeah.
But it's also...
Well, that's a term that's so... used, like, way too often.
I don't even think it's fair weather in the sense of... like how our team's doing as much as it is like literally the weather.
I'm with you.
And like the young families that are bringing their kids. And I mean, for a while, what was it, 2012? I got to mention it.
By
halftime, we were up by a lot every game. Yeah, and so fans were leaving then too. I mean, it's not even, if we were winning a ton against Mississippi State at half, more people stay at halftime. But if we're losing at half or we're winning by a bunch at half, like probably pretty close to the same amount of fans are going to be leaving. Do you agree with that?
No, I'm with you. So, yeah, just the, you know, conference realignment's always an interesting debate. But I think Tech has set themselves up good when it does come along again, barring Tech continue, you know, to increase their winning tradition.
And what about, like, the student side of that? I mean, a lot of the other Power 5 schools have a lot more students.
Well, I think you're seeing Tech, you know, grow year after year.
They have more students at the game than Tech has at the university.
That's true, but Tech's going to beat them one day. Trust me.
All right.
So, back to recruiting. National Signing Day tomorrow. You can join us at bleedtechblue.com. Just $9.95 a month. We're going to have it. You know, we're going to have it covered start to finish. We're going to start at, you know, 6 o'clock, 6:30 a.m. We're going to run it toward, you know, all the way up until tomorrow night. We got updates out right now on our site, where some of Tech's final two targets stand, where, you know, what they might do tomorrow morning when they do make their decisions. I know one of Tech's targets was committed to TCU. TCU actually picked up a commitment tonight. I'm not sure it hurts this guy's spot, but you just never know. So join us at Bleed Tech Blue to see what's going on that front. When you look at Tech's seven prospects that are not signed to this point, Willie Allen, offensive lineman, Tyler Junior College. We talked a little bit about him earlier. Stephen Shaw, another big offensive lineman out of Manville, Texas in the Houston area, 6'4", 255 pounds. Walker Hankinson, another offensive lineman. Tech has five offensive linemen in this class. Hankinson's a 6'5", 260-pound two-star offensive lineman out of San Antonio. Derek Turner, safety, St. Francisville, Louisiana, West Feliciana High School, 3A state champion. He played quarterback for that club. His teammate is also a commitment to Louisiana Tech, Devon Smoke Harris. I've had him described as, you know, the most electrifying player in the state. 5'6", 160-pound running back, wide receiver, kind of a guy you just want to get the ball in his hands. And then you look at the final two guys, running back DeAndre Marcus out of Ruston, 6'1", 183 pounds. Elijah Hines out of Port Arthur, Texas. He was actually his district MVP in Port Arthur. He's a three-star running back. So Tech's adding some talent to this class. You can join us at bleedtechblue.com. We have, you know, six of the seven guys we have when they will sign, when they will send over their faxes on the trusty fax machine to Louisiana Tech and make it official. And, you know, you can follow us on Twitter. You can join us on the site. I know I put out something today. You know, we have the most knowledgeable community of Louisiana Tech fans that you're going to find, and it's well worth your money. We can have you join for as little as $8.33 a month if you join using our yearly subscription. I know, Beck, you've only been on the site for just over a few months. How much have you enjoyed being a part of the BTB community?
Well, it's been real nice, Ben. I'll be honest with you. It's helped my knowledge a little bit, but also I'm just kind of surprised that, like, when you feel, you know, like anything, you feel like you're in the know, it kind of spikes your interest a little bit, and, you know, makes you want to go to the games a little more to see about these players that everybody's talking about. And it's a good way to partner with our university and to partner with Tech and to just, you know, understand what's going on and be a part of it. I mean, what 99% of people, you got a lot of players' parents on there, but a lot of people on there are Tech alumni. They care.
Well, and you look at a lot of these Tech alumni that are on the board, you know, these guys are, you know, a lot of them are former players, and so they know what they're talking about when they tell you, you know, how to read coverages, when they tell you, you know, what a linebacker's looking for from an offensive, you know, running back out of the backfield. So just join us, bleedtechblue.com, well worth your money.
Right, it's not just you with all the knowledge. It's a lot of other people that know how the program works.
No, it's all me.
I mean, it is.
I'm kidding.
You know, but at the same time, it's like, you know, you got former players, like you said, and so they understand what's going on in the locker room and can maybe give some good insight. I mean, so do you, though. You were on the mound for the Bulldogs. So.
And in all, you look at this Tech recruiting class, 10 three-star prospects. That number does not include Isaiah Graham, the transfer from TCU, who, you know, quite possibly was probably a four-star guy. I know he's a three-star out of high school. So when you look at this class that Tech's put together, that's 10 three-star guys after only having four a year ago. Tech's class ranks 77th in the country. On Rivals, that's the 13th-ranked G5 recruiting class. There's 58 G5 programs. Pretty impressive. I think 247 Sports has Tech as the 9th-ranked G5 program. From a recruiting standpoint. So this is an extremely impressive recruiting class that Coach Skip Holtz and his staff have put together.
Right, and just to give you some perspective, can I go over those stats from the
previous
year?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So 2014, 83rd in the country, or how do you say that?
Yeah, that's right.
83rd in the country, 19th.
Ranked G5.
In the ranked G5, that was 2014. 2015 was better, 77th in the country, 12th ranked G5. Then we had couple of years where we went shot back up into the shot back down to the bottom of the rankings. 2016, 97th in the country, 32nd in the G5, and 2017 about the same, 94 to 29, and then back on 2018, we back, baby.
We are back.
77 and 13.
And just looking at this recruiting class, I think it has an opportunity to compare favorably to that 2014 class. When you look at that class that ranked 83rd in the country, 19th from a G5 perspective, there's just contributors all across the board. When you look at David Mahaffey on the offensive line,
that's my boy,
along with Shane Carpenter on the offensive line, Michael Rodriguez has really blossomed into a quality tackle, and Kirby Wixon was, you know, Tech starting center for a year before moving to guard. So there's four offensive linemen.
Well, Mahaffey's not there anymore.
But I'm just saying, like, those were contributors out of that class.
Yeah. Okay, and you got, I mean.
And then you got Cam McKnight, who's still playing well. Russell Ferris had a nice four-year career. We talked about Cedric Cooper earlier. He's probably going to get a shot in the NFL. Deldrick Canty was very solid at his defensive end spot. I believe he was a four-year starter. Marcus Gaines had flashes of greatness. Marlon Watts made, you know, a couple of big plays throughout his career. Definitely saw a lot of playing time. Jared Kraft was rock solid at running back for the last 2 years once Kenneth Dixon moved on. And then you look at the final guy of that 2014 class, he's probably the best player in it. He's definitely an NFL player. He's been an All-American, Jalen Ferguson. So that 2014 class was pretty special when you look at, you know, Jared Kraft, Jalen Ferguson, Cedric Cooper, Cam McKnight, all of those guys, Deldrick Canty, all those guys were all-league players. So matching that 2014 class is going to be difficult, but I really like this 2017 class.
Yeah, it's going to be really good to see, or really interesting and fun to see how they pan out and what. You got something?
No, yeah, keep going.
That's all I got to say.
Okay, so yeah, that 2014 class is really good. So what we're going to do is we're going to go ahead and take another timeout. We're getting to time to take a timeout. So when we come back after the break, we're going to look at Tech's 2015 class, Tech's 2016 class, Tech's 2017 class, and how they all stack up against this 2018 recruiting class that Tech is putting the final touches on before National Signing Day tomorrow. We'll also hit a little bit on some Dunkin' Dog basketball before we're joined by Lane Burrows at 7 p.m. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
There are no bigger Tech fans than the Timms family at Fairway Carts in Minden. And there's no better place to buy a new golf cart, side-by-side, or utility cart than Fairway Carts. Fairway sells nothing but the best. Easy-go golf carts for the links or the neighborhood. Bad boy buggies for that off-roading you do. And Cushman utility carts that mean work. Come see our full line at Fairway Carts in Minden. And go Bulldogs! Visit us online at fairwaycarts.net.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
Want to find out stuff about Tech sports your neighbor doesn't know? Keep it right here on Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle, joined by Beck Haynes. National Signing Day tomorrow morning. The Dunkin' Dogs. They ain't finalizing nothing. Skip Holtz and his Louisiana Tech Bulldogs will finalize their 2018 recruiting class. Before we went to the break, Beck, we were taking a look at Tech's recent signing classes, and you look back at 2014, it was, you know, one of Tech's better classes. Looking to back to 2015, that was Tech's a year Tech was ranked 77th nationally, 12th in the G5. You look at some contributors out of that class, you know, you got Courtney Wallace, you got O'Shea Dugas, who was a freshman All-American. We've seen Jamar Smith. He's started 14 games already in his career.
Yeah, we've seen him.
Yeah, we've seen him. Your boy Jamar. Jordan Bradford has been, you know, a rotation player at the least on the defensive line since he was a freshman. He's been a two-year starter, I believe. Colin Scott at linebacker. He's been in and out of the starting lineup. Ethan Reed was a freshman All-American as well after a redshirt year. Emmanuel Turner will probably step into Deldrick Canty's spot opposite Jalen Ferguson, a guy that's really good in the run game at defensive end. Rashid Bonnet, we've seen him. He can get deep in a hurry. Jaquise Dancy, he's had a, you know, a tough career from a health standpoint, but it looks like he's finally healthy and poised to do some big things in 2018. And then you look at Trey Spencer and Aaron Roberson at cornerback. They really came into their own this year when they, you know, it was the first time they saw – a substantial amount of playing time, and then Brandon Dermott at linebacker. So that's another class. You know, they always say if you hit on 50% of the guys in the class, you're doing pretty good. And
which is a crazy stat for as much time and effort as you put into recruiting them.
It's incredible. And the thing that gets me is, you know, you say you sign 25 guys and you hope to hit on, you know, 50, 60%. Well, you're hoping to hit on 12 to 15 guys. Well, and then there's going to be, you know, it never fails. There's always four or five guys in a class that you never hear from, end up even leaving the program. And that's just what baffled me. Because, like you said, you spend so much time recruiting these kids knowing that you're just, you know, law of averages, you're going to miss on, you know, four or five of them.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, that, we talk about that with baseball all the time, how teams will just spend a ton of money on people, and then they're like, just a dime a dozen. It blows my mind. But it's part of the game, and they know it. Players know it.
And looking ahead to this 2016 class, I know we mentioned that this class was, you know, a little down from a numbers perspective based on Rivals recruiting rankings. You know, 97th ranked class in the country, 32nd ranked G5. But I've been pretty impressed. It was a class that had a good deal of junior college players. You know, you look at Josh Outlaw, a two-year starter at left tackle. Keontae Gardner has contributed at defensive tackle. Damarian King was a two-year starter. And then Jawhite Stallworth, a guy that had 3 years of eligibility, has been in and out of the starting lineup and is probably poised to take over the right tackle spot in 2018. So when you look at those four guys from the junior college ranks, I think Tech did pretty good. And then, you know, Kadarian Mason was a defensive tackle that Tech actually flipped from Southern Miss on signing day, which was a nice get. He's contributed. I know he started the year off as a starter and saw a substantial amount of playing time throughout the year. We saw what L'Jarius Sneed can do out of Minden, shutting down, you know, Cortland Sutton and Trey Quinn in that bowl game. Israel Tucker hasn't contributed a ton. He missed his freshman year due to an ACL injury, but I think going forward, you're going to see him contribute a good deal. Zach Kowser, I know you and I had the opportunity. We were actually sitting with his parents at that Mississippi State game when he caught his first career touchdown. That had to be pretty cool. Willie Baker, you know, he was the prize of that class. He had offers from, you name it, he had them. You know, Michigan, I know, was, you know, one of his final schools that he was down to. He hasn't done a whole lot at defensive end. He's had to put on some weight, but hopefully going into his redshirt sophomore year, we'll see him start contributing. Cody Russey, you know, he started 8 games at center this year. He looks to be the center of the future. And then Eric Kinzer, who's a, you know, looks to like he's going to be a pass rushing specialist for Tech. So that 2016 class,
not too shabby.
Not too shabby. And it's a group that when you look at Kinzer and Russey and Kowser and Willie Baker and Kadarian Mason and L'Jarius Sneed, Israel Tucker, those are guys that, you know, quite honestly, aren't supposed to contribute till 2018. And those are guys that have contributed much earlier than maybe some expected. So that's been nice to see. And then you look at last year's class. The 94th ranked class in the country, 29th ranked G5. Smaller class for Tech, only 18 guys, which is part of the reason why it was ranked a little lower. But we've seen the prizes in that one. When you look at Jaden Cole, Jordan Baldwin had a nice year at safety. Hanner Shipley, former LSU signee, contributed some at right tackle. And then, you know, George Scott at receiver, you know, saw some time due to injury. And then Meek Robertson, I think you have to say he's the prize of that class.
Absolutely. Meek was fun to watch. You know I'm a big fan. I know you're a big fan. I'm excited to next year, same time, recap the 2018 class and how they did.
Well, hey, I hate to tell you this, but you're a free agent next year, so we'll have to sign you to a new contract.
I might not even be here. I don't know.
Yeah, who knows where you'll be. But let's shift. I feel like we've been talking Louisiana Tech recruiting for the past 40 minutes, but I think we would have done the show wrong or a disservice if we didn't do it that way. Let's shift over to Duncan Dog basketball. Louisiana Tech 14-10, 5-6 in the league, like we mentioned in the open. They split a road trip at FAU and FIU this past weekend, losing on a buzzer beater to FIU, which was hard to see. But they come home. Four of their final seven games are inside the Thomas Assembly Center, or I don't even know if it's four. I just know their next four are in the Thomas Assembly Center.
Nice. Looking forward to it.
You're going to be there Thursday night?
Not Thursday, but I'll be there Saturday night.
Well, that's all we're worried about.
That's just that Old Dominion game, right?
Yep. Old Dominion should be a big one. Thursday night's actually a red out, I believe. You look at the old classic redout.
We have stats on that. Where's our stat guy on the redout games?
Yeah,
have you ever had one?
If we need stat, we need stats on the redout. Somebody tell a stat guy to send us some stats on the redout for the Donkin Dogs. Tex warned them on the road a few times this year. I
can't say anything nice.
You don't like those?
No.
You're not a big fan of red jerseys. What do you like?
The red
blue?
And blue one?
Yeah.
The red? No, I don't like them. It needs to be red and white if it's going to be anything. I don't dig the red and blue. Nobody asked me, though. Hope those dogs get that W in their red.
Yeah, that's true. We really didn't ask.
I'll get some stats next week.
Yeah, get to work.
Take me all week, but I'll get them.
Get to work. But you look at last week, like we mentioned in the open, Amari Archibald, Oliver Powell really closed out the game against FAU. It's nice to see those young freshmen and sophomore and Powell showing up late in ball games. They've really garnered a lot of playing time, whether it was expected or not. Now that Janiah White has moved on and had to, end his basketball career due to a medical condition with his heart, I think you'll see Powell really have to step up and play some big minutes, coming down the stretch of conference play.
Yeah, this team's continued to face adversity in the sense of just losing some key players. So it'll be, we talked about it at length the last few weeks of just needing to find their identity. I think they're getting there with Archibald really stepping up, and I think those are going to be guys. They're going to have to make a huge difference, or it's going to be another year before they really gel,
Well, it's been such a tumultuous season. Tumultuous. You talk about Jalen Harris, we break it on December 20th that he leaves the program. Then you deal with Bracey's back injury. Now you live with Janiah White, learn that Janiah White's out for done for his career. Harrison Curry, junior college transfer that was expected to contribute, hadn't played all year. His knees have been giving him issues. It's just been one of those years, those years that you just can't make up. And you look at the rest of the schedule, I think there's 7 games left. You look at the 4 home games that Tech has coming up with Charlotte Thursday night, Old Dominion Saturday, UAB the following Thursday, and then Middle Tennessee. When you look at Old Dominion, UAB, Middle Tennessee, those are, arguably 3 of the top 4 teams in the league, but definitely 3 of the top 5 teams in the league before you finish with a road trip at UTEP, at UTSA, at Southern Miss, which for me, with this Tech team, I'm not, hating. I'm not a player hater, but I don't think that you can say, as bad as UTEP is, that's a no-doubt win when you have to travel all the way to El Paso.
Right, and just as we've learned with Tech in general, we love them, but there's not a lot of – you just never know.
Well, when you look at, go all the way back to football season, it just seems like this year is just close loss after close loss after close loss. And, it just seems like, Tech athletics are a little snake bit this year, and that might be the case, and it might turn around in conference tournament time. We might go dancing, and me and you might hop in that F-150 that you got and head out to Anaheim, California, and watch some March Madness with the Donkin Dogs. What you say about that?
About 9 miles of the gallon is what I say about that. So we're going to have to be – we're going to need some sponsors. Y'all buy them advertisements.
Absolutely. But, yeah, it's a tough stretch for Tech here down the stretch, but it starts Thursday night. And one other thing I wanted to hit on before we get to our timeout, before we get to Lane Burroughs to talk a little Diamond Dog baseball. Bracey returns to the lineup against FIU. He scores 14 – or he plays 14 minutes off the bench. I have to imagine he was on a minutes restriction.
Right.
He is Tech's LeBron James. He has 7 points, 1 assist, 1 rebound, which, I think that's a pretty solid return. But it'll be pretty interesting to see what Coach Conkle does now that he has 2 point guards on the floor with Archibald and Bracey.
Yeah, I've been plagued with injuries throughout my career. And that first game back, Ben, it's just always, getting the feelers out, seeing how you're doing, seeing if you still got it, if you can still perform at that high level. So I can imagine Bracey was glad to be back, but I bet we'll see more of him gradually in the next few games, especially, saving him for the home game. That's what the fans want.
Yeah, the fans just want to see Daquan Bracey at home.
I'm still jacked up from that time he went in and just – I didn't know he could dunk, and he did, and it was with authority.
Dunk?
I mean, depends on what size hoop we're talking about.
On
your daughter's hoop, I can jam.
not the old 10-foot goal, though.
Nope.
Not the old 10-foot goal. So Louisiana Tech, like we mentioned, back at home, starting Thursday night, Thomas Assembly Center. Make sure you're there. I think tip-off's at 7 p.m. Game will be broadcast on BN Sports if you don't have the opportunity to make it over to Ruston. It'll be nice to see Coach Conkle's team as they're back at the Thomas Assembly Center. So we're going to get to our next timeout. When we come back, we'll talk with Coach Lane Burrows, head coach of the Diamond Dogs, as they get set to open their season in just a couple of weeks. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio on Sports Talk 97.7.
First National Bank, the uncommon bank, banking on a first-name basis. Uncommon, people, service, and convenience. Uncommon, dedication, trust, and courtesy. First National Bank, beyond banking, with 100 years of experience. Uncommonly close to you. First National Bank, the uncommon bank. www.theuncommonbank.com. Member FDIC.
The new year is here, so let's start something new at Brennan Dodge in Ruston. Starting this year, any new or used purchase from Brennan Dodge will come with oil changes free for life. That's right, your new or used car from Brennan Dodge will come with free oil changes for as long as you own your car. Just our way of saying thank you for the many years of support this community has shown us. And the all-new Jeep Wrangler is just a few weeks away, so don't miss a chance to test drive the legendary Jeep Wrangler. Let's start something new this year at Brennan Dodge in Ruston.
Feed a big hunger on a small budget with the new menu at Scott's Catfish and Seafood. 9 full meals under $10. Every Tuesday night, buy one burger po' boy or quesadilla, get another burger po' boy or quesadilla at half price. Cool weather's a great time for gumbo and etouffee. And don't forget the catfish and shrimp lunch buffet. No time to dine in? Use the drive-thru and get a family meal starting at $16.99 at Scott's Catfish and Seafood.
Down home cooking from Scott's tonight.
Ruston, West Monroe.
Injured in an accident? Call Creed and Creed in Monroe for local experienced representation. This is KNBB Dubac Ruston Monroe, 97.7.
You gotta love it. Tech sports, that is. That's why there's Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Cards hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back, Bleed Tech Blue Radio. I'm Ben Carlisle. We're now joined on the Fairway Cards hotline by second-year head coach of the Louisiana Tech Diamond Dogs, Lane Burrows. How you doing tonight, Coach?
Hey, guys, doing great. Thanks for having me on tonight, and ready to talk a little baseball.
Absolutely. Just around the corner, I know you guys got practice started about 10 days ago or so. What have you seen so far? I know you guys have been through the fall and through the Fall World Series and now ready to really get things going and see opponent across the field from y'all.
Yeah, you know, we're on the quarter system here at Tech, as everybody knows, so we've kind of been out there a while doing our individual skill work, but as you mentioned, started official practice coming up on 2 weeks, and you know we guys are ready to play. Obviously, somebody different, and we are too as coaches. But we feel like we got a long way to go. There's still jobs up for grabs, which that's not comforting for coaching staff when you're 2 weeks out or a week out, I guess. But like what we see, the effort's been great, the energy's been great. When you do have jobs open and guys are fighting for them, it makes for spirited and competitive practices and inter-squad game, so that's a plus. You don't really have to talk to guys into playing and getting amped up to see the same pitcher over and over because they're out there competing and fighting for a starting position, and it's fun to watch our guys compete against each other and bring the energy every day.
And, Coach, when you look back a year ago at a team that was, it was led by 14, 15 seniors that obviously had, a ton of experience, and now you fast forward to 2018, I think you guys have – somewhere around 20 new faces out there. How is that different for you as a coach from an evaluation standpoint when there is so many jobs that are up for grabs?
Well, it makes it tough because you go to the unknown factor. We got one returning positional player, Dalton Skelton, our shortstop, that really played significantly last year. Parker Bates played a lot for us, and he was a true freshman. But besides that, it's a lot of positions that – going to be new faces. Mason Mallard was a young man that probably would have started in center field for us last year. And unfortunately, he tore his elbow up and had Tommy John surgery in January of right before the season last year. So, we have experience. New catcher, Chris Clayton won a national championship with his junior college team last year. But it's just the unknown factor. And, And most of these guys hadn't played Division I baseball, and it's a different ball game. It's a little faster than what they're used to, but it does make it a lot different. We're a totally different ball club, I feel like, this year as far as what we bring to the table offensively. When you want to talk offensive baseball, I think it's going to be a lot different look, more of a pressure look, and but it'll be fun. I'm excited. I think we have really good ball players. We got good character young men, and it's just a matter of getting that first pitch thrown and playing somebody different and seeing what we're made of.
And, Coach, when you look at, you know, everything from a recruiting standpoint, how important is it? Obviously, it's important to bring in talented players, but how important is it to bring in players that have been around, you know, a lot of winning baseball and know what it takes to, you know, reach that next level to win a JUCO national championship, like you mentioned that Chris Clayton won a year ago? How important is it to bring in winners to the program to kind of breed that amongst the rest of your team?
Very. That's a tremendous point. You've been around the game. You know that. When you bring guys in from winning programs, they not only they know how to win, they want to win. They hate to lose. You talk about our Jones Junior College guys. They won a national championship 2 years ago. Mason Mallard, Hunter Wells, two guys from Tyler Junior College, they won a national championship in the Division III level in junior college. So we got that. That's comforting to a coach that you had men out there that hadn't only won, they won at a high level. They lifted the trophy at the end of the year. And those guys want to win, man. That's what they came here for, and that's what they're used to. And I think you make a great point. To build a winning program, you got to go get winners, and you got to go get guys that are used to winning, that know how to win. And, you know, we're still in the building phase of this thing. You don't build a program by going to one regional. And you got to keep building every year, and every day. And our guys, we preach on that. We talk about it. But I think your point is spot on. It's very, very important to go get guys that know how to win, want to win, and hate losing. And, you know, sometimes that can be tough to find. But we're fortunate we have a lot of guys on this team that have won at a high level. They got rings where they won the last ball game of the year, played at the level they were playing. And so they know what it takes, most definitely.
Coach, with so many new faces, as we kind of touched on earlier, what's it like from a coaching perspective? How do you get those guys to play together as a team? Because we know that's so important. Coming from, you know, a squad the year before that just had a bunch of returning guys, and you mm-hmm. got a lot this year that are just new faces. So how do you approach that? Is that different mindset than last year, of maybe that some of the older guys last year could have just taken them under their wings, but this year you got a lot of guys and a lot of positions open? So the competition on top of building team camaraderie, what is that like, dealing with that as you're in your second year?
Yeah, you guys are on your game tonight. Another important point, I'm going to be honest with you. When we met as a staff before the guys checked in the fall quarter, one of my concerns was chemistry, our team chemistry, because it's all new guys, and they're coming from different programs. And let's be honest, there's a lot of alpha males in that locker room, and they were all the dudes at their high school and their junior colleges, right. So they coming in here with their chest poked out. It concerns you. I'm a big chemistry guy. I'm a big team chemistry guy. I know some people doesn't play that up as much, and it's not as important to them. I'm the other side. I think it's huge. I think chemistry and brotherhood can get you over the hump when things go bad, and they will go bad. It's baseball. It's a marathon. It's a long season. You're not going to win them all. You're going to have some bumps in the road, and when you got a tight knit group, they're going to get through it together. But it's going into the fall, I was really concerned, but I'm going to tell you what, we do a little deal at the end of our fall where everybody fills out a questionnaire. It's about 8 pages long, and we ask everything from how can we be better as coaches to what do you think about our academics, our strength and conditioning, everything. And, man, it just seems like this team is really, really close. And, you know, you want that, and you fight for it, and you push it, but when you're dealing with 35 different personalities and egos, sometimes you don't get it. You guys have been on teams. Sometimes you don't. They ain't going to like each other, but I feel like these guys really, really pull for each other. They may be fooling me, but I feel like that our chemistry is really, really good right now. Again, we haven't played a game and faced any adversity either, but it's tough. I mean, you try to fight for it every day, and I like where we are right now team chemistry-wise, though.
And Coach, you look at, you know, we had you on last year, I think right before the season started, and we talked about, you know, how it'd be different for that roster being the hunted versus being the hunter. Well, you look ahead to this year, you're more of the hunter. You're back on that kind of side where you have a little bit of a chip on your shoulder. A lot of guys that haven't proven themselves at a Division I level. You know, from your perspective, is it easier to coach when you are that hunter versus being that team that's hunted that's already had a lot of success?
I think it's easier to get guys motivated to play. Probably if you're number one pick and you're really good, it's probably easier to coach because good players make you a better coach. So, but, yeah, I mean, I told our guys, I hope we're picked last. I hope we are. They don't know who you are. And I can tell it hurts our guys to think that people don't think we're the best team. And that's kind of who we are. And, you know, we talk about identity. And I know culture is a word we all throw around a lot today, but it's important. And, you know, who are we as a team? We talk about it with recruits. Well, we're going to be blue-collar, chip on your shoulder, play with an edge. And I want guys in that locker room that that were overlooked, that want to prove people wrong. And, you know, we're picked middle of the pack. And but I think people are showing our program some respect, to be honest with you, that they didn't pick us down at the very bottom. I think that shows that our program is trending and moving in the right direction. But, yeah, when you're not picked up there at the top, I think you can motivate a little easier, and you can play the lack of respect deal. But if you good players make good coaches, and if you got great players, you just kind of get out of their way and let them do their thing. And it's easier to play that respect card, no doubt about it, when people don't know who you are and they're picking you in the lower half or middle of the league.
Coach, my claim to fame over here, sitting across from Ben Carlisle, is that I'm your average fan. So as your average fan sitting in the Love Shack this year, you know this team better than anybody because most of us don't know them too well. So what can we see? What do you think is going to be the identity of Tech baseball this year? Are we going to be power hitters? Are we going to be pitching defensively strong? I mean, what is you think the thing that's going to kind of be our identity and what to look for as fans coming to the Love Shack this year?
Yeah, I think from an offensive standpoint, we're going to be able to pressure defense more. What does that mean? I think, offensive baseball is not just hitting. It's like a pizza, and there's different slices. There's bunting, there's walks, there's HBPs, there's base running, there's hitting, there's power. I don't think we'll hit with the power we did last year. One thing about that club, last year they could hit doubles and homers, and we did it a lot. But one thing we struggled last year was pressuring the defense with athleticism and taking extra bases and balls in dirt and stealing bases and hitting and running, things of that nature. And that club could really hit last year, but you run into a good arm, you know right out of the gate, man, it's going to be tough tonight because we're going to have to manufacture. And I feel like this team will be able to do that better. Now, we won't be able to sit back and wait for the 3-run homer. We'll have to pressure. Right. But, you know, we run 7 of our 9 hitters in a lineup tomorrow. I feel like can all be 10 to 15 stolen base guys. Don't mean they will. They got to get on first. They can't steal first. But I feel like that'll be a strength, the athleticism. I feel like our pitching staff, our bullpen depth is way better than it was. You know, there will not be a Nate Harris that's got electric stuff, and he's going to get 12 punch-outs a game. But I feel like last year, if we really needed a punch-out in our bullpen, you really only got about 2 or 3 guys, and I feel like this year we got 5, 6, 7. Mm-hmm. I need a punch-out right now
that's awesome.
We can go get them and then get us a strikeout, and that's important. They may be 3-out guys, 6-out guys, but I feel like we have a ton of competitive arms in our bullpen. And I think that's a plus. A lot of those guys pitched last year, and they're back. And we have a lot of guys in the pitching staff that can pitch in dual roles, whether it's closing out a ball game or matching up left on left. Last year, we didn't have any lefties down there, and now we got about 6 or 7, so feel good about those matchups. And I think if you look at strengths, it'll be the athleticism of our club and our bullpen depth, I think, will be 2 things we'll point to that'll be strong for us.
Well, final question before we let you get out of here, Coach. With so many new faces, who are a few names that Bulldog fans can look to watch for this year and may come to know very quickly right out of the gate?
Oh, gosh. Well, you got Hunter Wells is a guy that switch hitter from Tyler Junior College. Tanner Huddleston is third baseman from Jones. He's got some power, can really swing it. And Logan Bailey's a left-handed pitcher and hitter. Probably has pitched better than anybody on our staff, and he'll be a weekend guy for us, and he can also play first base, and he's been really, really good. And, you know, if you had an hour, I could sit here and name off all of them. But those are a few names that jump out. Still Netterville's a guy, Taylor Young, freshman from Bird, Still Netterville, and Taylor Young from West Monroe, people are familiar with that I think will play significant time. And And there's a bunch of them. There's a lot of new of them. I like them. They play hard. And like you said, you'll have to bring a roster. And I'll be like Bear Bryant, I guess. I have to call them by their number sometimes until I figure out who they are. But we're excited about it and excited about our fans. And the season ticket sales are going great. And we just want to put a product on the field that you guys can be proud of.
Absolutely, Coach. Well, great stuff tonight. And we're looking forward to seeing you guys February 16th when y'all travel out to Malibu, California to take on Pepperdine.
Awesome, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Lane Burrows, head coach of the Louisiana Tech Diamond Dogs. Some good stuff. And
man, I'm excited now.
No, I really
am. I'm not even being the radio guy. I'm serious.
No, yeah, it's going to be a fun team to watch. And like you said, there's not going to be you sit around and wait for that three-run homer from Chase Lunsford or whoever it may be. This is going to be a team that, a lot like his Northwestern teams that we played against when I was at Tech, that they're going to take a hit by pitch, they're going to get on first, and they're going to run. And they're going to play hit and run. And then if they do punch a ball in the gap, you better look out because things can snowball in a hurry. But he's doing a great job with the program. And like you said, you know, you don't build your program in only a year.
Right.
But I think he's well on his way to building a solid team that'll compete for Conference USA championships year in and year out.
Right. I'm gonna miss the old bomb, you know, in the bottom of the eighth to give us a little push to the ninth inning. But you know, I also like good baseball, and sometimes you have to, you know, manufacture that a little differently. So looking forward to being in the Love Shack this spring and just watching some good baseball.
Absolutely. So we're going to go ahead and take our final timeout. When we come back, we're going to wrap it up. You're listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, Sports Talk 97.7.
The Bleed Tech Blue Radio Show is brought to you in part by O'Neill Gas. O'Neill Gas offers propane delivery to homes and businesses throughout North Louisiana. For more information, go to O'NeillGas.com.
Bulldog fans, this is Chris Brister from Brister's Smokehouse, and I'd like to invite you to our new location, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston, across the street from our old location. Stop in and try our famous scatter load on your choice of four different types of bread. Our barbecue nachos are piled high with your favorite type of meat. And you have to taste for yourself our tender and juicy smoke cooked chicken, my personal favorite. So whether you're in town at a Tech game or just in the mood for the best barbecue in town, come see us at Brister's Smokehouse, 1420 Cooktown Road in Ruston.
Sports Talk 977 is presented by the injury attorney Jeff Guerrero in Monroe. If you or someone you know has been injured in an accident or has been the victim of medical malpractice, do what thousands of others have done. Go Guerrero.
At First National Bank, part of being the uncommon bank is a dedication to community involvement. We are dedicated to the communities we serve. First National Bank has the privilege of partnering with MedCamps of Louisiana for the 2017 Louisiana Tech football season. For every touchdown the Bulldogs score, FNB will donate $100 to MedCamps, a nonprofit organization that provides a residential camping experience free of charge to children living with special needs. Visit their website, MedCamps.org, for more information on how you can help. First National Bank, we promise to be uncommon in all things we do. Member FDIC.
Don't have time to keep up with Louisiana Tech sports the way you'd like to? No worries. Just listen to Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank. Call or text the show on the Fairway Carts hotline, 888-993-7762.
Welcome back. Final segment.
Probably my favorite segment of each show.
Absolutely. Question segment. But just a reminder, tomorrow, National Signing Day 2018. Seven guys that Louisiana Tech has committed right now. We'll see if all those guys sign. Two more targets that you can join us on BleedTechBlue.com for. Some exciting times around Louisiana Tech. We just talked to Coach Burrows. Some great stuff from him. What he likes about his roster, what to expect in 2018. Beck, you know me. I'm a baseball guy. You know, that year that Coach Goff led his team to the yep. NCAA regional in Starkville, last year with what Coach Burrows did with that team, I'm expecting more of the same this year. I love seeing guys that play the game so hard, and that's what, you know, Coach Goff did with his team, and Coach Burrows carried it into last year, and I'm excited to see it as well again in 2018.
Yeah, I reignited my fandom for baseball the last couple of years at Tech, and I've talked about that before, just how the environment at the Shack has been unbelievable. Fans have showed up. We've had some big games there. So, you know, it's spring. People want to be outside. It's a good time to be outside and just enjoy the weather. And
well, and that's a good point. You know, if you don't have anything going, I know it's a lot to drive over to Ruston if you live in the Shreveport area. You know, I have some friends in Monroe that love to get over here for baseball games. It's, you know, the Love Shack, it's not going to be packed. It's not going to have 10,000 people at it every night. But it's a great environment with a passionate fan base. And let me tell you something, they play some high-quality baseball as well when you look at, you know, the wins over ULL, the wins over Arkansas, the sweep over Rice a couple years ago. It's a quality program. It's a program that's on the up and up. And I know Coach Burrows mentioned Taylor Young from West Monroe, a freshman that should see some time, and Steele Netterville from Byrd High School, where I went to high school at. He had a big fall as well. So it's nice to hear that Coach Burrows is recruiting some local guys as well. And
that always helps the fan base, you know.
Yeah, it will. And, you know, you're right. It draws more players, more parents to the Love Shack each weekend, and more general fans as well.
Right. Looking forward to it.
Yep. So, National Signing Day tomorrow. We'll have it all covered, BleedTechBlue.com. One question I had for you, Beck. I'll be honest with you. I ain't got a dang clue what you're going to say. I didn't even tell you what I was going to ask you. But you're a recruit. And we've seen it year in, year out, ESPN, ESPNU, they love to do the broadcast. All these cats put 5-6 hats on the table, and they fake put on a Boston College hat, and then they rip their button down, and they have a Wake Forest shirt on underneath it. You think it's funny that they're going to Wake Forest. Yeah. So if you're a recruit, ESPNU is like, Mr. Haynes, I know you've had a lot of knee surgeries, but how – would you commit to your program of choice?
That's a great question. I mean, gosh, so many different options. I think I'm, you know, like I touched on it earlier, everybody now, they just type the notes into their phone, you know, and screenshot it and tweet it. That's not me, you know. Ben, this is a rare opportunity in your life to have some fun, you know. It's a really, you know, I mean, now with everybody trying to get on SportsCenter and stuff, the thing I'm going back to in my head right now is that, you know, we had a couple babies between the two of us, okay?
We did.
And two beautiful little girls. So we just went through the whole gender reveal deal. And I don't even want to bring this up.
No, let's bring it up.
So I'll get to what I like, okay, you know, just I don't know, maybe, you know, maybe a recruit says, you know, gets his buddies around and says, "Hey, I'm thinking about these five schools. I got a T-shirt for each one." They gave it to me, but you didn't hear it from me because that's a gift.
Yeah.
All right. Maybe a little duck, duck, goose on camera, and then you pick the one you like or the one you're going to, and they get up and chase. That's a creative way. Now, I'll tell you what I did for our gender reveal, because you know I'm a slow pitch softball prodigy, if you will.
You could rake.
So we had a little get together at my parents' house. Dad needed an excuse to cook on the big green egg, and so we did a little, we had one of those, I don't know, those plastic, whatever, baseballs filled with the color, the powder of the baby.
Yeah, boy or girl.
Boy or girl. And so we didn't know which one it was. So that was kind of a fun way to do it. It was pink. So.
Well, tell us how it went. Like, I know that, you know, did you do soft toss?
Yep.
Well, here's the deal. I was there. I'm not going to act like I wasn't. The first toss that... you know, your wife gave you, I would say swing and a miss.
Yeah. So interesting because I didn't even think about that. I was, you know, I'd watched some videos. I was like, that's a fun way, you know, to be a family and a couple of close friends. Not a whole big deal. And then like a week before I was, you know, getting pretty excited. We had the appointment and then somebody put a box for us and gave us the ball that we're supposed to hit. And somebody asked me, it was actually my boss. And, he asked me, he said, "What are you going to do if you, like, I hope you don't miss," is what he said. And I was like, "Miss?" You know, like, honest to goodness, I hadn't even thought about missing. And then I started thinking about it, and I was like, I mean, there's, you know, the chances that my wife, I mean, she's, you know, beautiful and wonderful.
She can sling it.
Yeah, she can sling it, and you just never know where it's going. And I'm like, man, I didn't even think about that. So, again, I'm playing it off. Get to the day of the party, everybody's like, "Oh, I hope you don't miss." And I'm like, whoa, everybody needs to relax. I'm not going to miss. I'm a slow-pitch softball king, okay? I can do this. She throws a little high and tight. I'm thinking to myself, I'm not going to swing super hard. The contact's important. I mean, I can't even see where this thing's going. It's going to explode. But I don't know if I was Barry Bonds in it. I mean, just trying to hit it as hard as I could. And I swung and missed. And it was, first of all, it was painful on two levels.
Your knee.
Three levels, my knee. It hurt my back. And my pride, you know. And everybody behind me is just laughing. And So she threw a little high and tight. Thank goodness we were on the front yard or the backyard, so it fell in the grass, didn't break. We
didn't bust.
So the next one, though, oh.
So, no, here's my question. So, like, you're going to swing this bat when you reveal and, like, you're going to – a flying gator is going to come out your head
in Florida? You'd have to – I mean, you have to be – if, you know, you're going to Tech, could be, like, blue or something. And then, you know, like, LSU could be purple or gold or something.
But you wouldn't go there. So
you wouldn't go there, so nobody would even, you know – you wouldn't even get order, you know, whatever. So, I mean, that would be, I don't know. Here's my deal. I just think that, like, this is a big decision for these players. Like, do something creative, you know, and, like, do it with your family. And
I'd spray paint my car, whatever
that's,
school.
That's dumb. I'm talking about, like, this is just, I would love to, just because this is what the stuff I like, I would love to see new recruits just be like, listen, you know, like, I mean, obviously let the universities know so you're not being disrespectful. I ain't talking about doing a LeBron situation where Cleveland literally didn't know. But just, you know, this is one of the rare times in your life you get to have fun with something like this. And it's a, you know, it's something you've worked hard for. So, I mean, get a little more creative than the notes in your phone. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. So, National Signing Day tomorrow. We'll have it all covered.
How would you do it? Besides the car thing, because that's ridiculous.
You know, Beck, I'll be honest with you. Like, I'm not a guy that's real big into, like, drawing attention to myself unless it's on the radio when you can't see my face. But I don't know. I just think that I would probably just put on the hat. I think that's really the traditional way to do things that kids think is cool. Or, heck, you never know. I might drop a note in my cell phone and say, please respect my decision.
Well, you know, now that you say that, I don't know how Saban would feel if I committed to Alabama hitting a crimson-colored softball.
Yeah.
Powder, you know?
He'd probably think you're pretty soft.
Yeah, he'd probably think that was lame. But, you know, maybe like a three-piece suit and looking all professional and shaking some hands and – you know, I don't know.
Yeah, so tomorrow, National Signing Day. Beck ain't signing. I ain't signing. But plenty of players
Tabes are ain't signing.
Nope, Tabes ain't signing as well. But plenty of Louisiana Tech commitments will officially become Louisiana Tech Bulldogs. Like I said, for as little as $8.33 a month, you can join us, bleedtechblue.com. We'll have it covered start to finish. Great stuff on tonight's show, Beck. It was definitely busy. We want to thank Lane Burrows for joining us. It's always fun to talk Duncan Dog basketball, Bulldog baseball, and Louisiana Tech recruiting. Next week, we'll be back. Be a final show of Season 10. We might look back at some of our best moments.
Bittersweet.
Yeah, it is bittersweet. I know we'll attempt to have Louisiana Tech head softball coach Mark Montgomery on as well. So should be a fun show next week. For Beck Haynes, for our producer John Tabor, I'm Ben Carlisle. Have a good night, everybody.
Listen for Bleed Tech Blue Radio, brought to you by First National Bank, every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Go deep inside Tech football, basketball, and recruiting with your host, Ben Carlisle. Also brought to you by National Jewelry, Pierce Service Company, Brennan Dodge, Dairy Queen, Delta Broadband, Ideal Portable Building, Brister's Smokehouse, and Fairway Carts. Thanks for listening to Bleed Tech Blue Radio.
Into the league, this was potentially a big move for the Colts. They got a great play caller. He's a great play caller. He's the guy that could help resurrect Andrew Luck and get Andrew Luck offensive weapons again and help out getting skilled players on offense. He's not a defensive coach, and I don't know how good of a head coach he is, but at a minimum, the Indianapolis Colts would be probably getting the best play caller in the entire league. They lost out on him. So they're going to be upset for a while, and if Bob Kraft really cares about sticking it to Jim Irsay that badly, well, they're all billionaires. Billionaires Boys Club. They play a little bit harder than guys who make millions of dollars, Tom, and maybe there's more to this story. We'll find out about it. I just think Josh McDaniels got whispered. Someone pulled him back into the building and said, hey, stay. We got you all set. We're going to bump you up and give you a raise. You're going to be the new head coach of the team. It's either going to be this year, next year, or at a minimum 2 years from now when Belichick retires. And we'll give you the keys to the franchise.
Well, I remember this, too. And you lightly alluded to it earlier about the owner of the Indianapolis Colts. So, that, I mean, maybe somebody pulled Josh McDaniels aside and said, hey, remember when, and then, so maybe that's another reason why.
Daniel in Columbia, South Carolina, beautiful spot. Looney's been there. Hello, Dan.
Hey, guys, love the show. And I got 2 points that I really haven't heard of at all.
since the Super Bowl. I'm a Patriots fan, disappointed as hell, but Budimasi, the backup safety, it was at the end of the second quarter drive, like 3rd and 8. He goes to make a wrap-up tackle. It was right at the basically line of scrimmage. His hands go around the receiver, and it's as if he had grease on him, and he just let go. And that was a huge stop play that led to the Foles reception touchdown. That was ridiculous that I think Malcolm Butler would have tackled. The other point about the whole coaching thing, I think Belichick is out either this year or next year, like you guys just stated. And I think a big reason that no one's really talked about is why the hell did